Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Friday, March 20th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. And a quick note before we dive in today, this episode will discuss sexual assault, which may not be suitable for some listeners. Sexual assault allegations against Cesar Chavez, including from his former colleague Dolores Huerta, sent shockwaves through the Central Valley this week.
Because I felt that my coming out and saying that would have hurt the movement.
Today, we break down the allegations against Cesar Chavez and discuss how this news is impacting people here in the Valley. But first, these headlines. Advocates and political leaders across the U.S. are working to reconcile the legacy of the late civil rights leader Cesar Chavez. This week, those allegations that he sexually abused girls and women shook communities across the country, including here in the Valley. The allegations against Chavez have drawn immediate calls to change and cancel events honoring him. Legislators in California are now seeking to rename a day honoring him as, quote, Farm Workers Day. Chavez died in 1993 and was laid to rest in Kern County. Latino leaders and community groups quickly called the alleged abuse inexcusable, but emphasized that the farm worker movement was never about just one man. And towns across California are taking steps to now remove the name of Cesar Chavez from public places. As KVPR's Carrie Klein reports, that could even include one Kern County town the late civil rights leader once called home.
Chavez and his family spent 9 years living in Delano. That's where he helped organize a grape strike that was foundational to the farm labor movement. Here's Delano resident Jose Salvador Orellana.
This person means a lot to Delano, to the Central Valley, to Mexican American history.
That's why Orellana found the allegations so surprising and saddening. He leads the Delano youth advocacy group Loud for Tomorrow. Now, the nonprofit is circulating a petition to change the name of Cesar E. Chavez High School. In just 24 hours, they received more than 300 signatures.
I think that's the power of just how community members feel about this situation and how they want to see change.
On Thursday afternoon, school district officials said in a statement they're reviewing the school's name. For KVPR News, I'm Carrie Klein.
A new poll by the UC Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies is out for a pair of initiatives likely to qualify for the ballot this election. The poll found a slight majority of California voters, 52%, support a billionaire's wealth tax. Voters are more evenly divided on an effort to establish a voter ID requirement in California. 44% support that, while 45% oppose it. Mark DiCamillo is the director of the Berkeley IGS poll. He says party affiliation is a main factor behind support and opposition for the voter ID initiative.
But you can see huge partisan differences, and actually no party preference voters are evenly split. The Democrats are the ones who are on the no side, the Republicans almost unanimously on the yes side.
DiCamillo says public opinion for the billionaire's wealth tax is flipped, with Democrats being more likely to support it. That measure, if it qualifies and is approved, would require billionaires living in California to pay a one-time state tax equal to 5% of their net worth. California is among two dozen states that sued the Environmental Protection Agency this week. The states are challenging the Trump administration's repeal of a pivotal scientific finding. That finding from 2009 determined carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases threaten public health and welfare. It had been the central basis for U.S. actions to regulate greenhouse gas emissions and fight climate change. The new lawsuit follows a legal challenge filed last month by public health and environmental groups. A tiny desert community in Southern California has tied the highest temperature ever recorded in the U.S. for the month of March. The town of North Shore is just north of the U.S.-Mexico border. On Wednesday, the National Weather Service says it reached 108 degrees. The Southwest has been in a record-breaking winter heat wave that will stretch into the weekend.
heard the saying, there's strength in numbers, right? Well, how about this? We've heard from over 1,000 new supporters in recent months. These listeners donated to KVPR after we lost federal support. That's incredible, but there's more work to do. We need to hear from 300 new supporters by March 20th to stay on track. Join the movement and keep KVPR central to the Valley and central to your life. Give now at kvpr.org.
And now to our main story. A bombshell New York Times investigation released Wednesday has rattled people across the country, especially in Central California. The Times revealed the late civil rights leader Cesar Chavez exploited his influence and sexually abused several women and girls. Among them, his counterpart, Dolores Huerta. Huerta co-founded the United Farm Workers Union with Chavez and said she was pressured into sex with him and later raped. Chavez is credited with leading a movement that has shaped modern work protections for field workers, those who do the backbreaking work of harvesting the fruits and vegetables that feed our country. The public reaction to the news has been swift and cutting, with town leaders promptly distancing themselves from Chavez, expressing disbelief, betrayal, and disgust. To summarize the allegations and discuss the fallout so far, today I'm joined by KVPR's news director, Crescencio Rodriguez-Delgado, and associate editor, Carrie Klein. Hello to you both.
Hey, Liz.
Hi, Liz.
Okay, Cress, I gave a brief overview of what's going on, but just to start, can you summarize for us what the allegations against Chavez entail?
Yeah, so without going into extreme graphic detail, the New York Times came out with a major story that exposes sexual abuse by Cesar Chavez. What we have learned so far from the reporting from the New York Times is that two women say they were abused by Chavez when they were young girls. One of them, according to the New York Times, was technically raped. And even more surprising was that we learned that the co-founder of the United Farm Workers Union, Dolores Huerta, also faced abuse. The New York Times reports that Cesar Chavez raped her, and one of the incidents happened in 1966 in a grape field right outside the city of Delano. And in her interview with the New York Times, Dolores Huerta reveals that she became pregnant twice by Chavez. And this abuse happened in the early days of the farm worker movement as it was just gaining steam and as farm workers were beginning to do their public work. And the New York Times says that they uncovered a larger pattern of sexual misconduct by Chavez in the course of the reporting, which actually began 5 years ago.
Wow. Okay. Well, Carrie, with Dolores Huerta, do we know her response to all of this being made public?
So her statement confirms what the New York Times wrote. You know, she said she had two unwanted sexual encounters with Chavez and that both resulted in pregnancies. She then arranged for the two baby girls to be raised by other families, although she said she's been able to since develop a deep relationship with them. And she apparently hid the pregnancies by wearing baggy clothes and ponchos at the time. Now, you know, we, of course, have that statement. She also spoke with the radio show and podcast Latino USA. And with them, with their host, Marina Hinojosa, she said she kept the secret for 60 years. 60 years, because she didn't want to hurt the beginning of this farm labor movement that she felt was so important and that has had tangible results today, like better pay, better working conditions, and some more basic rights on the job than farm workers had at the time.
I think if my staying quiet and not revealing this, I don't know if that contributed or didn't contribute, but in my mind, when people say, why didn't you leave? Why didn't you tell people? Well, this is why. Because I felt that my coming out and saying that would have hurt the movement.
Cress, this is important and significant all over the state and the country, but it's especially significant here in the San Joaquin Valley. So can you walk us through the farm labor movement's history in our area and just why this news is especially poignant here?
Absolutely. I mean, to start, the modern farm worker movement was born right here in the San Joaquin Valley. You have Mexican and Filipino farm workers who were fed up with the working conditions and kicked off strikes and protests. What we know today as the United Farm Workers is largely focused on Latino farm workers. And as we know very well, the Valley has a heavy Mexican and Hispanic population, and farm work is the largest industry. So this is ripe land for a farm labor movement. And you can say that the farm worker movement led by Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta pretty much shaped life in the Valley. I mean, they not only secured basic rights for workers, as Carrie was mentioning, but also shaped entire generations. You know, so many of these generations are children of farm workers, myself included, and some generations can trace their own family back to the original farm worker movement that kicked off in the 60s. And so over time, you have had some generations that were integrated into this fabric also due to migration. And I remember as a high school student attending marches in support of farm workers and attending marches in honor of Cesar Chavez. And I remember being in the car with my parents as we were going to work in the fields, listening to the radio and hearing about farm workers. In Spanish, it's a term known as campesinos, and just being immersed in this world. And so many of us grew up with the slogans like Si se puede, which is yes, we can, and La unión hace la fuerza, which is unity is strength. And I think that left us with an impression that anything is possible and that hard work does pay off. And so many people in this region, farm work labor is just ingrained in our psyches. And it's part of the Valley's identity. Even if you aren't directly in farm working settings, over time, this has taken on different meanings as well, according to how the world has changed. And we see so many mass student protests these days. That's also traced back to the farm worker movement.
Well, all that leads me to ask, how are farm workers responding to this news?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, farm workers have a deep devotion to the work. And because the UFW has been there to speak up for them, they also know that this is the work of Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta. So these are figures who are well known and well respected, and you can't easily remove them from the work that still lives today. Just this week, KVPR reporter Israel Cardona Hernandez was actually out in downtown Fresno because the UFW is suing the federal government over wage cuts to workers who have H-2A visas. Israel spoke with some farm workers who said they are very aware of what Cesar Chavez has been accused of, but that the work has to continue. One farm worker, Bertin Flores Esteban, picks mushrooms in Gilroy. He says the union Cesar Chavez built is bigger than one man.
It is not the organization that committed a crime or mistake. The organization has nothing to do with it in that regard.
And another farm worker, Jose Hernandez, he's retired and lives in Fresno. He says that the news of Cesar Chavez doesn't really change what Cesar means to him.
He was a person who strongly supported the farm workers. That's all.
Carrie, what have local leaders and elected officials been saying about the situation?
Yeah, so reactions have just been pouring out. I mean, overall, people are kind of universally shocked and surprised. It seems like really only those close within the farm labor movement were familiar with any rumors of this kind of behavior from Chavez, you know, before this all came out. And leaders really have been trying to distance themselves from Chavez pretty much immediately. I mean, you've heard from so many elected officials, Senator Alex Padilla, Assembly Member Esmeralda Soria, State Senator Ana Caballero, city council members in towns and cities across the valley all have come out in support of Huerta, sharing their shock and anguish about Chavez. State leaders in Sacramento have already decided that Cesar Chavez Day on March 31st will be renamed Farm Worker Day. And one of the voices calling for that initially was State Senator Shannon Grove, another elected official from our area at Fresno State, where the Chavez statue was covered up within hours of this New York Times story. The campus now says they plan to remove that statue. In Bakersfield, city leaders have stopped an effort to rename a street as Cesar Chavez Boulevard, and the Fresno City Council yesterday voted to revert Cesar Chavez Boulevard back to the old street names that had just been changed in 2024. So you're seeing a lot of this history and these monuments and things dedicated to Chavez just being undone.
Yeah, just such a swift reaction from so many people. Well, I know this whole situation is really about Chavez and Huerta and the people coming forward with their own very personal stories. But Cress, I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about how the KVPR newsroom responds when a big breaking news story like this comes our way.
Right. I mean, so as a newsroom, we cover any and all news that we think our audience cares about. Farm workers, labor, unions, those are topics that KVPR has historically covered. And so we have even interviewed Dolores Huerta right here in the studio about her work. It's not lost on us that we still have a civil rights figure like Dolores Huerta, who we are used to seeing in history books in black and white photos, but who is here in living color. So, of course, these are stories that we have to cover. It's so important as a news organization that we chronicle the events that happen, because if we think about it, in 10 or 50 years from now, these stories are going to help inform what happens next, just like the news reports from the 60s are helping us understand how this movement started and what happened since then. So our newsroom explores all angles in the moment and tries to bring our listeners and readers the most clear and contextualized information that we can.
And I'm sure there will be much reporting to come in the coming days. So before we go, Carrie, what will we as a newsroom be looking at next as the story develops?
Yeah, I mean, as Chris said, we are trying to cover as many angles of this as possible. And of course, right now we're focusing on just what is the immediate aftermath of this? Like, what happened and what are people saying and how are they responding to it? But moving forward, there are still many more deeper stories to look into. You know, we're going to be focusing some reporting in Delano, where Chavez and Huerta spent so much time and where the infamous grape strike took place. We're going to continue to follow reactions and ripple effects of this news throughout the valley. Dolores Huerta lives in Bakersfield. We'd love to get the opportunity to speak with her. And I do think it's time for us to pay some attention to some of the other leaders of the farm labor movement, including Larry Itliong.
KVPR News Director Crescencio Rodriguez-Delgado and Associate Editor Carrie Klein, thank you both very much for this discussion.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you.
And that is today's show. KVPR will continue to cover the fallout of these revelations, as we mentioned, so stay with us for more coverage in the coming days in the podcast as well as on our broadcast. You can listen at 89.3 FM in Fresno, 89.1 in Bakersfield, and you can always listen on the KVPR app or your smart speaker. Have a great weekend. Today's episode was produced by Carrie Klein, Crescencio Rodriguez-Delgado, Jonathan Linden, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. For the latest local news, visit kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.